Remember when the bull was like, how come my eyes hurt? Other bull was like, cause you never used them before. It's kinda like that.
What?
Before you, Lord, as your people, Lord. We come before you as those that are called and chosen by your name, Lord Jesus, the name that's above every other name. And Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just bind and cast out every hindrance, every work of the devil, every fear, every thought, Lord, that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right now, we just cast it out, Father. And we pray, Lord God, in this place, Lord, that your freedom, Lord God, and the freedom that comes from your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just rest and set every captive free, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us. Father, I acknowledge openly again this day, Lord, that there is nothing good in me but your Holy Spirit. And so to your Spirit I yield, Father. And as we go forward, Lord, we pray that the Spirit that leads and guides us to all truth would lead and guide us in this time. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing to praise Him when we go through trials and tribulations of all kinds. You know, we had just the testimony there too. We all have testimonies as we go through life with Christ. Because Jesus told us, in this world you will have trouble, so take heart, I have overcome the world, in John 16, at the end of the chapter. Not in this world you might have trouble. Not in this world maybe some of you will have trouble and some of you won't. You know, there's people all over the world that think they're deceived in thinking if they can get wealth, that they can, with that wealth, shield themselves from trouble. It is an absolute lie of the devil. Because people get wealth and they chase after that, but then what happens, first of all, they give themselves over to try to get that, so they really destroy themselves that way. And then once they have it, they realize that everyone is coming to try to take what they have. And they're up late night worrying about it and wondering what's going to happen to it and trying to do all these things to protect that thing they think they have. And they also find out very quickly that these bodies are going, every one of us is passing on from this life in the body that you're in. And the wealthiest men that this world has ever seen, all of them are gone. Their wealth couldn't buy themselves another day. So, but it's a lie of the world, and people believe this lie over and again. I'm amazed how many people believe such a stupid lie. Now, wealth is not an evil thing. Nor is poverty a mark of holiness. No, what's important is follow Christ, and whatever it is that you have as you follow Him is what you have as you follow Him. But the heart and the focus is Christ in all things. And when we face difficulties, when we face trials of all kinds in this journey following Him, you are able to take that which you face to Him, because He said, don't be anxious about anything, right? He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And He also said, He said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I don't give as the world gives. So God gives and grants peace, inner stillness in your soul. No matter the storm that may be raging around you, God gives you that within. But He gives that to those who follow Him. He gives that to those who trust Him. He gives that to those that look to Him in all situations. So if you look to God in a situation, and whatever it may be, God will grant you peace in that situation. If you look to man in a situation to try to help you, but not to God, that will fail you and you will have no peace. Back to wealth. If you put wealth in a place it shouldn't be and you look to money to try to solve your problem, then you will have no peace. Jesus Christ is the universal solution for every problem. Him first, and then He unfolds the solution as you look to Him. Okay, I had a couple questions that came to me last week after our study. And I'm very happy when I get questions and when people ask me things, because I like the challenge that goes of us discussing these things. Now, we only know what God reveals to us and what God shows us. So I don't ever claim to have all the answers. There's a billion things I have no idea about. But we know what God's revealed to us and what God showed us. Okay, and I thought, you know, it might be fair, since there are some new faces here as well and people, to address a couple of these. Because this sometimes comes up as we're talking and as we're sharing with each other. Okay, one question was asked, what's meant when we talk about the world system? What is meant by that? When we talk about the world and we talk about the world system, what do we mean by that? Mm-hmm. Because when scriptures talk about the world, it's referring to two different things. In one place, it says in John 3:16, it said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. But in 1 John chapter 2, it says, love not the world. Right? So here, go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I want to show you that. Because they're talking about two different things. That 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Okay, now we need to have some clarification on what we mean when we talk about the world system versus the world that God created. Okay, when you look at God's creation, when we go out, you stand on the beach, you look at the sunset, God made a very beautiful world. And He filled it with people that He has a love and care for. Yeah, there's one pastor I remember who people were talking about all these bad things that the Chinese were doing. And he said, well, God must really love the Chinese, actually. They said, why? Because He made so many of them. No, God loves the world. God loves His creation. God loves the people that He has put on this planet. And every soul that is created that comes into this world has the opportunity to, in this life, receive heaven into themselves. See, while you're here in this life, you are allowed the opportunity to, through Christ Jesus, who is the door, who is the gate, you are allowed to receive the kingdom of God into yourself. And every single soul, whether you were born in India, whether you're born in Norway, whether you live in Iceland in an igloo, you, wherever you may be, every soul has this opportunity. Every person is created with free will and that ability to choose. Everyone's given that. Even if you were were born as a slave and you've never seen daylight your entire life, you were still created with a free will and ability to choose. And in the core of your being, just like the Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3, you can make a decision whom you will serve and to whom you will bow. So everyone is given that. Universally, everyone is given that. Everyone gets the same 24 hours in a day. You all get that. Isn't that beautiful? Every president of the world and you all get the same day. There's certain things that everyone gets. And you're allowed to use that and make decisions in your life based on that resource that you're given. But so there is a world that God created that He loves. But now in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 through 17, that's not the world it's talking about. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 through 17, what it's speaking about is the world system, which is very different than the world. Now, where did this world system come from? Well, the world system, if you go back all the way to Genesis, all the way to the fall, the world system was born in the fall. And what happened was when man fell, when man lost his place and his position with God, there was something else that was born in that. It wasn't just that sin came into the world and now sin is the big problem. No, there was something else that was born there. See, the deception that took place with Adam and with Eve, what happened there was, who deceived them, right? Who deceived them? Okay, so Satan, Lucifer, the devil, that satanic, demonic hierarchy deceived God's creation. And in that deception going forward, what happened was man was now, by his, again, free will, that you have the ability to make a choice, right? Man, in his decision, put himself in a bad place. And there was another kingdom that took root at that time that was separate from the kingdom of God. And that is the kingdom of this world. So what has happened is there's been a world system that has been growing now, growing, 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 thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and now today what you see around you is this world system.
Then
Now we know the person that introduced that system, right? So we know the demonic agent that did that. And in John chapter 10, it describes the nature of the thief. He comes to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that system in and of itself will, by what it does, rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Because of the nature of the one who designed it. Now sometimes it's very, very overt, and it is robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying right there in front of you, and you see it. And at other times, it is coming as an angel of light, appearing to be something good, but it's still the same spirit behind it that robs, steals, kills, and destroys. So we talked about 3 weeks ago, I think, Ananias and Sapphira, example, case in point. So the world system is a system that's at enmity with God. And that system, one of the major purposes of it is for to get the soul of those that live in this world. So the goal is to get the soul through your free will, giving yourself over to that system. So the desire of that system is for you to choose and say, okay, I don't want to serve God because I trust this system, so I will serve this in my heart of hearts. This is where my allegiance lies. The core of who you are, the most important part of who you are. Now, the world system manifests in many different ways. It manifests itself in politics. It manifests itself in economics. In entertainment. In religion, it manifests itself in religion. Now, and what I'm saying is that in those things, you have to have discernment because the wheat and the tares grow together. See, there's a way that God intended that people would have and run their political system in the world. So God, He created that. He created political systems. He showed people how to run them, how to run their affairs. He showed people how to create ethical economies. He's shown people how to have a true relationship and connection with Him. Not serving a dead religion and an empty shell. shown people how to create entertainment and things that bring joy to the hearts of other people out of the gifts that He's put in them as they're connected to Him. So there is an original. There is an original. But in order for there to be the counterfeit, there is an original. Yeah. For the fake one, the bull. You know. The reason people make counterfeit 1,000 rupee notes is because there's an original 1,000 rupee note. There's no reason for someone to make a fake 1,500 rupee note. If somebody made a fake 1,500 rupee note, would anyone take it? No, because there's no original. So likewise, the devil will only make a counterfeit of the original, because otherwise you wouldn't believe it. So you have to understand that the world system is a counterfeit of God's original plan and design for you and for His creation. So it's a counterfeit of God's way, of the way He would provide for you and for His people. It is a counterfeit of the way that God would help people to run the affairs of this life. It is a counterfeit of where people's hearts and intentions would be focused. And so God tells people and shows people in 1 John chapter 2, don't love that, don't let that capture your heart. Because that system works very hard for it to be able to try to capture your heart. So it shows you different things, it works on your mind. But you make the decision in your free will, will you serve God or will you trust and serve that? Now in John chapter 17, we understand that we, like the disciples, we are in the world but not of the world. So God takes us out of the world, sets us apart unto Himself. Fills us with His Spirit, equips us and empowers us for the task at hand, and then He sends His followers back into the world on a rescue mission. Yeah. And just like Jesus, when he came into the world, he only did what he saw the Father doing. And he only did what the Lord instructed him to do. And these followers of Christ, and you as well, we follow in the same suit. Now we know about the world and the world system that verse 16 of chapter 1, verse 2, of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Okay, so it focuses on the physical. It focuses on the temporal. It focuses on what you can see, on what you can touch, on what you can count. How many members do we have? That's very important for the world. Yeah, yes, sir. How many people are part of this? That's very important for the world. Whereas we've established Luke chapter 17, 20 through 21, where Jesus said the kingdom is within. See, when you grab hold of the kingdom being within, what's going on outside doesn't matter. Whether you can count millions of members or you can't count anybody, doesn't matter. If one day you have everything, the next day nothing, doesn't matter. And then the next day you have nothing, and the next day you have everything again, doesn't matter. Because your walk and your state of spiritual being is not contingent on the external surroundings. See, people given over to the world system, they judge themselves and each other based on something external. So you are a success in the world system if you have something external that you can show for it. So if you have all of these things and you can show them and show them to other people, they're, this guy's a success. See, people that are given over to that system, they want what's external because that's how they validate themselves. Whereas with kingdom people, it doesn't matter if you have it or you don't. It doesn't matter. What matters is, like in verse 17, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Doing the will of God is what matters to you. And because of that, you have a freedom because you're not now attached to anything in this world. You're free from all of that. So does that clarify more to you what is meant by the world system as compared to the kingdom of God? Now, I've before God's had me actually teach for weeks about this. Before He's had me actually teach for weeks about this, the world system and... But there's ultimately a single principle. If you can understand the nature of the beast, there's a beast, it's called the beast system even. If you can understand the nature of it... Animal, just it's an animal. If you can understand the nature of the animal of the world system, then however it manifests, whatever form it may take, you recognize it because you're like, oh, okay, there it is. That's it again. And it's different than the kingdom of God because it's as different as night is from the day. Okay. Is that helpful for one? Okay. All right, there's one other question that came last week, and this we'll clarify this one a little bit too. What does it mean when we talk about carrying your cross? You know, I mean, so often what happens, you know, all of us have been to the meetings. We've all been there. And in the meetings that we've been to, and they talk about carrying your cross. You need to carry your cross, brother. Brother, you're not carrying your cross. Sorry. You guys like my preacher voice, huh? You like, okay. I always find it funny that there's a special voice that people pray in. They have this special prayer or a preaching voice that comes from here. Yes. You talk to the guy anytime during the week, it's, hey Howard, good to see you. Yeah, but now I must preach. Okay. Mark chapter 8.
Mark 2.
Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, there it is again, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So chapter 8 of Mark, verse 34 through 38.
අදින් නමුත් මා පක්ෂයෙන් කැමති නම් ඔහු තමගේ කැමැත්ත අත්හැර තමගේ කුරුසිය රැගෙන මා අනුව එවක් නිසාද තමගේ ජීවිතය ගලවා ගන්නට කැමති කවරෙකුට නමුත් ඒක නැති වෙන්නේය. මා නිසාද සුභාරංචිය නිසාද තමගේ ජීවිතය නැති කර ගන්න කවරෙකුට නමුත් ඒක ගලවා ගන්නේය. මක් නිසාද යම් මනුෂ්‍යයෙක් මුළු ලෝකය ලබා ගන්නත් තමගේ ජීවිතය නැති විදියොත් ඔහුට ඇති ප්‍රයෝජනය මොකක්ද? නමුත් මනුෂ්‍යයෙකුට තමගේ ජීවිතය දිනවලට මොකක් දෙන්න පුළුවන්ද? එසේ හේ මේ සාමනිත්‍ය ශාසිත වූ පාපිෂ්ඨ වූ පරම්පරා
Okay. Now, this thing about carrying your cross has been twisted and turned all over the place. Okay, let me first make a small side note that will help you. Okay. Okay, if back to the world system, because we've already established that one, yeah? Alright, one of the biggest goals of the world system, again, too, is to block you from ever knowing the true Christ, from ever knowing the way out of it. So in order to block you, and the battle is for your mind, one of the best ways to block you is to give you a false impression of what is true. So in order to give you a false impression of what's true, if I want to block you from the real Jesus, I have to give you a false Jesus. Because if I give you a false Jesus, and you have a terrible experience with that false Jesus, and then you say, I don't want to have anything to do with that, then you go off into all kinds of other things. And then later in life somebody says, you know what, you really need Jesus? And they say, no, I already tried that. That I know what that's about. You see, that's why they build these massive buildings and cathedrals and all these things all over the place, with somebody up there standing saying, this is what God's about and it's not what God's about. And just look at the people there. Are they living the abundant life in Christ Jesus? No, they're miserable, and they've been miserable for 30 years. And just all just holding on and hoping they're okay. And the first sign of any trouble, and they all melt because they have no foundation whatsoever. But the world will work to give you a false Jesus. Because if you believe the false, it'll try to confuse you. It wants to confuse you. Okay, so now, same thing with what is it to carry your cross? See, if you have a misunderstanding or a misinterpretation of what it means to carry your cross, then you can be now tricked again. Okay. When somebody in this time, the cross was the tool of crucifixion, right? So if somebody was carrying a cross, if you saw somebody in the streets carrying a cross, they were on their way to be crucified.
Yeah.
So the story of Jesus' own crucifixion, when he was carrying his cross, he was on the way from the place that he was sentenced to the place where he would die. So anyone that picks up that cross is going to die. They're on their way to the death of who they are. So when you pick up the cross, Jesus said, okay, I'm going this way. If you want to follow me, you have to take up a cross because that's the direction I'm going. And anyone that will take up the cross is somebody that is on their way to die. To die to who they were, who they once were, the self that they are apart from Him. Now, this is all intertwined. So when somebody gets baptized, what is baptism? Baptism is a show, it's an external manifestation of the spiritual reality that's taken place in a person's life. So when somebody gets baptized, what happens is when they go down into the water, what they're saying is the old me is dead and buried, and when they come up out of the water, they say the new me is the life I now live in Christ Jesus. So death and the grave could not hold Christ Jesus. And because His life lives in me and the Spirit of God lives in me, death and hell cannot hold me. My life is hid in Christ Jesus, and therefore now the life that I live is no longer I that live, but Christ in me. So when someone picks up their cross to follow Christ, essentially what it is you're going with Him no matter where. And you understand that He is taking you to the death of yourself. See, He is taking you deliberately to the end of yourself. So that you can have the abundant life now. See, as long as you live apart from Him and outside of Him, you can't experience the abundant life in this life. And isn't it amazing that He says that if for those that try to save their lives, they'll lose it. For those who lose their lives, they're the ones that find it. Now what does the world and the world system tell people? Save your life. Absolutely. The world is consistently telling everybody, save your life in this world. That is the mantra of the world system. Save your life. Become something in this world. You can do it. Yes, we can. Whereas what God says is, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it, and that's the lie and the deception. But if you lose your life for my sake, if you take up your cross and you follow me and you go to the end, you will find what true life is really about. But now this thing about taking up your cross and following Him, it's not this twisted crazy thing that everybody's made it out to be. It's something very, very simple. What taking up your cross and following Him means Okay, listen closely. What taking up your cross and following Him means is, Lord, Your way, not mine, every day, every moment of every day, period. That's it. Very simple. What you're saying is, Lord, Your way, not mine, every day. I die to self and I choose to follow You and to live in Christ. That's all it is. And whatever that manifests to be in your life as you walk with Him, that's what it is. Whatever that manifests, however it manifests with you, because God's working with you. I'm one part of the body, you're a different part of the body. So God may just be bringing me out of the wilderness, He may be sending you into the wilderness. See, you can't follow me, because if you try to follow me, I'm just finished that season and God's sending you there. And I can't follow you because God just finished that with me and He's got something else. See, there are windows of time that God allows for you to journey with someone else, sure. But then God sends everyone and He scatters you in different directions, different places, because He has an individual, perfect assignment, call, vision for your life. So to carry your cross means, Lord, Your way, not mine, every moment of every day, every single second I exist in this life, in this reality. And if you live like that, you will experience the abundant life God intended for you now. It won't be something that you have to now wait and hope and maybe when you die you might know. God will allow you to experience true life here and now. His kingdom come, His will be done. In Jesus' name, and my time is up. So we'll stop there for today.